Let's open our Bibles this morning and read from God's Word in the New Testament and the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 14, we're reading the first chunk of that passage together. Mark chapter 14 from the beginning. This is the Word of God. Now the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away. And the chief priests and teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want, but you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading of his word to us. Bibles, back to the passage that we read in Mark chapter 14. This passage really is all about love, and love is very familiar to all of us. It's all around us, isn't it? People write about it, people make movies about it, people sing about it. There are so many songs, so many great songs about love. The Beatles, "All You Need Is Love." Celine Dion, "The Power of Love." I'm not a Celine fan, but Minnie Pipperton, "Loving You." Stevie Wonder, "I Just Called to Say I Love You." Right across the board, I'm sure we all have an artist that we like who has sung about love. It's one of the great things that people talk about. Whitney Houston sang about the greatest love of all, didn't she? She said, "I found the greatest love of all inside of me. The greatest love of all is easy to achieve. Learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all." What a lot of guff. That's not what love is. That's not who love is. The Bible tells us that God himself is love. 1 John 4, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." God is love. Well, the chapter that we come to this morning in Mark chapter 14 is a sad chapter in many ways, because it displays the hatred, the ugliness of the human heart. According to verses 1 and 2, the religious Jews, the leaders, they're fed up with Jesus. They're fed up with his preaching. They're fed up because he has outed them as religious phonies, as hypocrites. They're not doing the job that they should be doing. And they're looking for some way to kill him. They're looking for some sly way, some crafty way to arrest Jesus and to kill him. Why are they so angry? Well, just because Jesus has exposed them. Jesus has told people who they're, what they're really like. They are religious phonies. They're hypocrites. They're not living. They're not acting as they should as the religious leaders. And Jesus is hurting them. He's hurting their business because they were making a lot of money in the temple. So they want Jesus gone. It paints a picture of the depravity of the human heart. But at the same time, this passage, there is also a picture of the human heart at its best. It contrasts the hatred of the enemies of Jesus with the extravagant love of one of his precious followers. These verses, I think, paint a portrait of extravagant love, don't they? I want you to see in the passage this morning the kind of love that every redeemed heart should have for Jesus. I want you to see the extravagant love that's on display by Mary here. See this love that's in action so that we might be motivated so that we may be challenged to express that same kind of unconditional, selfless, all-consuming, boundless, extravagant love for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. I'm going to look at a couple of headings. The first one is the demonstration of extravagant love. We'll look at the setting, the sacrifice, and the statement. These events in the setting, they took place in the little town of Bethany, which is a few miles outside Jerusalem. And Bethany was a favorite location for Jesus. He had some very good friends there. These friends were the siblings, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Lazarus, who he had raised from the dead. And Jesus often visited their home and benefited from their hospitality. Bethany was a special place, and this family were special people for Jesus. We're told that this event happens or occurs in the house of a man called Simon the leper. And it would appear that this man had been healed by Jesus, and he throws a feast in honor of Jesus. He wants to thank the Lord for what he has done in his life. We know that from John chapter 12, which is the corresponding passage for this event, and it gives us more of the information. In Mark's gospel, it doesn't tell us who the woman is, but in John's gospel in chapter 12, it tells us that it was Mary indeed who came to Jesus and showed this love. But this man, Simon the leper, is happy. He's wanting to give thanks to Jesus for the change that he has brought about in his life, for the healing that he has experienced at the hand of Jesus. And he's thankful for it. And indeed, so should we be. We should be thankful for whatever Jesus has done in our hearts and in our lives. This man's heart is overflowing with love and gratitude for Jesus, his Savior, the one who has healed him. It's great to be excited for Jesus. It's great to show him love and thankfulness. And that's infectious as well. It should challenge us to live lives where we are living lives of thanksgiving to God for what he has done for us. As Christians, how he has taken us out of the darkness and how he has brought us into the glorious light of the gospel. How he has changed our hearts. How he continues to transform us through his Spirit. We're told of this same event in John's gospel. Martha is serving. Lazarus is sitting at the table. And then it's Mary that comes in. And she offers this demonstration of extravagant love towards the Lord. What we have here is a scene of love, isn't it? Jesus is surrounded, for the most part, by people who love him. He's surrounded by people who he loves, people who genuinely care for him, who genuinely know him. And what are they doing? They're reclining at the table and they're enjoying food and one another's company, aren't they? The AV translation says, he sat at meat. I quite like that. Jesus is sitting at meat. They're enjoying fellowship together over a meal. And that's the way that Jesus had fellowship with so many people, wasn't it? Over a meal, over food. That's a great thing to do. There's something special about sitting down with somebody and eating with them, getting to know them. It's something that we should cultivate. It's something that we should do as a church. Fellowship is great. It's even better when food is involved. That's my mantra anyway. So we see the setting there for this act of extravagant love. Then we see the sacrifice of this demonstration of extravagant love. As Jesus sits there at this meal, Mary enters the room, and she has with her this alabaster jar filled with very expensive perfume made from pure nard. It's a great word with an Invernessian accent, isn't it? Nard. But she breaks this jar, doesn't she? And she pours the perfume all over Jesus' head. But John tells us that she also anointed his feet and that she wiped his feet with her hair. It's an extravagant demonstration of love, and it deserves a few minutes of our time this morning, doesn't it? Within this jar, she had this substance called spikenard or nard, and it's this red-tinted ointment from a plant that grows in India, and it was a perfume that was used in the embalming process. And it was very, very expensive. Only the very wealthy could afford to buy this ointment. We're told in verse 5 that it was worth about 300 denarii, which was about a year's wages for the average person. Now, apparently in 2013, the average wage for a Scottish person was 26,000. There are some of us who are obviously well below the national average, but that's what it says on the internet, the fount of all knowledge, that around 26,000 was the average wage for a year's work in Scotland. What do you own that's equivalent to a year's wages, regardless of what the average is? Your year's wages, what do you own that is equivalent to your year's wages? Would you be willing to give it up for Jesus? Would you be willing to give it all to Jesus? This is extravagant by any stretch. This is an extravagant demonstration of her love towards Jesus as her Savior. She enters the room, she breaks the neck of the flask, she pours some of the ointment on Jesus' head, the rest she pours on his feet, and then she falls down before him. And she worships him. She washes his feet with her hair. It's an extravagant gift. In John's account, it said the whole house was filled with the odor of the ointment. This is an extravagant display of love because it was sacrificial. She gave the most precious thing that she had, the most expensive thing that she had, to her Savior. Why? Because he was worth it. Because he was worthy of her praise. Because he was worthy of this extravagance. So we see the setting. We see the sacrifice. Thirdly, we see the statement that there was in this demonstration. Why did Mary do this? Was she trying to impress the people who had gathered at the house? Was she trying to prove to them how much she loved Jesus? Well, I think this act of extravagance was for Jesus' benefit alone. When she came that day and she broke that flask and anointed the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair, she was making a statement. In fact, she was making a number of statements, wasn't she? She was making, firstly, a statement about her commitment to him. When she broke the flask, there was no going back. The flask was broken. The entire contents of that vessel had to be used. They had to be poured out. Her commitment to him was unconditional. It was totally complete. She was willing to give him all that she had. But secondly, she was making a statement about his value to her. She had probably saved her entire life in order to be able to buy that flask of ointment. She was probably saving it for her own burial. When she broke that flask and poured out its contents, she was telling Jesus, "You mean more to me than anything in the world. You mean more to me." But she was also making a statement about her value to herself. Because by this act, Mary was demonstrating that Jesus meant more to her than her own reputation did. She sacrificed her pride in order to love Jesus, in order to serve Jesus. She's saying, "I love you so much, I don't care what other people think about me. I love you so much that I want to show you this love, this extravagant love that I have for you." Two things prove that to us. First, only prostitutes were seen in public with their hair down. She takes her hair down. She doesn't care what anyone thinks. She wipes Jesus' feet with her hair. Second, only slaves, only servants would wash the feet of others. When a person came into the home, you offered them water so they could wash their feet, or you had the slaves perform that for you. Mary took the place of a slave before Jesus. She humbled herself before him. She served him because she loved him. Fourthly, she was making a statement about the value of her possessions, wasn't she? To Mary, nothing in the world was as valuable to her as Jesus was. She loved him with this extravagance, and she recognized that everything she had, anyway, was owned by him. It had been given to her. She loved the Lord more than she loved her things. That's a great challenge to us, because I think a lot of the time I love my things more than I love Jesus. It was common in those days to put a few drops of perfume on the head of a revered guest that would come to your house. Mary breaks the jar, the whole flask, and pours it over Jesus, the whole thing, because she loves him. But she's also making a statement about his worthiness to be worshipped and served. Why did she do it? Because she was thankful. She was thankful to Jesus because of who he was and because of what he did. He had raised her brother from the dead. She knew that he was Lord. She knew what was coming. She understood what was going to happen to Jesus, perhaps more so than the disciples did. We'll see that in a moment. She's overwhelmed with love for Jesus. She gives all that she has to him in this selfless, extravagant worship. She knew that this would be the last time that she would see him, or the last opportunity that she would have, and she made it count, didn't she? That's what Jesus says later on in verse 8. She did what she could. She had this opportunity, and she took it. Now, I'm sure there's other statements that we could draw from this act that Mary executes. But there are a lot of questions that we can ask ourselves from that. When's the last time that we broke the bank worshiping Jesus? When's the last time we threw away our pride and gave Jesus worship, honor, and praise, regardless of what people think? When's the last time we selflessly served the Lord? How long has it been since we placed everything that we have, everything that we are, everything that we care about before Jesus? Have we offered everything to him? Because he offered everything for us. He offered himself. He gave all of himself. Because he loves us. Now, it's like the John Legend song. It's on Stephen and Jane's wedding video. Great wedding video. All of me loves all of you. Well, that's what Jesus says to us. This is what Mary's saying to Jesus. All of me loves all of you. Can we say the same? Can we say to Jesus, all of me, everything I have, everything I am, loves you? I don't think we see much extravagant love for Jesus these days. There are very few people who love Jesus more than their own personal agendas, their own personal possessions, their own personal comfort. And I am challenged myself as much as the next person. There are very few who are willing to serve Jesus without the thought of anything in return. Do we love him just because of who he is, or are we loving him just for what we can get out of him? Look at our lives in light of Mary's statements of faith. How do they stack up? Are we totally committed to Jesus in extravagant love and worship to him? Because that's his will for us, isn't it? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Is Jesus more precious to you than your possessions? Would you be willing to give up everything that you have in this life for Jesus? Would you be like somebody in Iraq just now who could walk away from their home and leave everything that they have, everything that they've worked for throughout their lives because of Jesus? Are you willing to give things up so that you might express extravagant love for him? Is he worth more than your pride? Have you reached a place in your life where you no longer care about what people think? Are we willing to suffer shame because it brings glory to Jesus? These are all really tough questions, but the world needs that. The world needs Christians, people who are in love with Jesus. They need to witness our expressions of extravagant love to our Savior, people who are selflessly committed to Jesus as Lord, who love him unashamedly, who live lives in light of the salvation that they have received. Are we living lives which bring glory, honor, praise, and worship to Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Is it time that we fall back in love with Jesus and who he is and what he has done? Kind of musical theme here. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Savage Garden, but they had a song, Truly, Madly, Deeply. You know? Are we truly, are we madly, are we deeply in love with Jesus? If not, why not? Too often, we love the Lord when it's convenient. We love the Lord when it suits us. 11 to 12 on a Sunday, that'll do me. We love him when he fits in with our schedule. In fact, so often we schedule God completely out of our lives, don't we? Well, if you're anything like me. We love him when it doesn't get in the way of what we want to do. We love him when it doesn't get in the way of where we want to go. We love him when he doesn't come in the way of what we want to accomplish in our lives. We love him to a point, but do we love him with reckless abandon? Do we love him with a true extravagant love, this extravagance that Mary shows to Jesus? So often we give ourselves a pat on the back for turning up to church on Sunday or throwing a pound in the offering plate. What does any of that mean? We live our lives by our own schedule, by our own agenda, according to our own needs and pleasures. And we fuss and we gripe and we moan about trivial things. May Mary's gift shame us of our tepid, lukewarm, half-hearted, self-centered love for the one who gave us everything. The one who showed the most extravagant love by going to the cross and dying for you and for me, giving his life. I can't speak for you, but this passage convicts my heart. It convicts me because I want to love him with that extravagant love. I want to love him with reckless abandon. I want to shun my pride and live for Jesus, and yet so often I fail and so often I fall. I want to love him like Mary loved him. Why? Because look what he's done for me. He gave his life for me. He shed his blood for me. He gave all of himself for me. Are we willing to give all of ourselves for him? Mary was. So we see her demonstration of extravagant love. We see then the discouragement of extravagant love. This wonderful act of extravagance and love that she shows to Jesus. But then we see the verses in 4 and 5, some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuke her harshly. They attack her. They're indignant. They're very displeased with what Jesus has done. They don't get it. This is the disciples. These are the guys who have been with Jesus and they don't get it. Why are you wasting all of this on Jesus? That could have been given to the poor. We know that from John's gospel, it was actually Judas Iscariot who said that. And he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As the keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. He didn't care that Mary was giving Jesus this, it's just that he wanted it for himself. It's a sad scene, really, isn't it? Because here we have this woman who loves Jesus. Who loves Jesus more than life, more than her wealth, more than her possessions, more than her reputation. And she sacrifices her pride and her precious ointment because she wants to worship, she wants to honor, she wants to love her Savior Jesus. She worships him openly, publicly, sacrificially, extravagantly. She gives away all that she has to worship Jesus. Her worship was expensive. It was extravagant. Yet it's misunderstood by the Lord's disciples. It's misinterpreted by the Lord's disciples. They ridicule her They make her feel small. They rebuke her. They speak indignantly to her. Why are you wasting this good stuff? They obviously didn't have the same heart for Jesus that Mary did. They obviously didn't have the same love for Jesus or the understanding of where Jesus was going and what he was doing. We still see that. I remember saying to somebody that I was going in for the ministry, and they said, "What a waste. What a waste. You're a young man. You've got all your life ahead of you. Why are you going to do that?" If we give our money to the church, if we give our time, if we give our energy, if we give anything to Jesus, people in the world say, "What a waste." We see this demonstration of extravagant love. We see the discouragement of extravagant love, but we see then the defense of extravagant love, don't we? Jesus knows what these men are saying. He knows what they're thinking. Look at his response. Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you. And you can help them at any time you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. The disciples say, "What a waste!" Jesus says, "This is beautiful." What Mary did bothered the greedy disciples, but it blessed the Lord Jesus, didn't it? He took Mary's common act of anointing his head and washing his feet, and he elevated it into the realm of spiritual work, didn't he? As believers, as Christians, we have been called, we have been set apart, we have been called to do acts of service and work that have been prepared beforehand for us to do. How do we take a common act and elevate it into the realm of a spiritual worship? Well, we do it for the Lord, and solely for the Lord. Even when we do the smallest thing, the Bible tells us, for Jesus, it becomes an act of worship. It becomes an act of extravagant love. It might be a monetary gift. It might be a song of praise. It might be a testimony. It might be a loud shout. It might be a lifted hand. It might be a kind word. It might be a cold cup of water. If it's given for his glory, if it's given in his name, then it becomes spiritual work. It all comes down to who we do things for. Are we doing things for Jesus, or are we doing them for ourselves? Are we living for him or living for me? Jesus is saying, look, you're always going to have the poor. They're always going to be here. And it's not that you shouldn't care for them. It's not that you shouldn't tend to them. But look, she recognizes that this is her last opportunity to love me. She took advantage of the opportunity she was afforded, and she gives him extravagant love. She gives him extravagant worship. She sees the opportunity. So it is with us. Our lives are fleeting at best, and we must learn to seize the opportunity when it comes. So often we pray for opportunity. Lord, give me the opportunity to speak of the gospel. And the opportunities come, and they come, and they come, and we never open our mouths for anything like I was. Lord, give us the opportunity, equip us to take the opportunities. Let us be like Mary. Identify opportunities to love Jesus, to show him worship, to show him praise, to give him extravagant love. Jesus says she did what she could. She gave what she had. Everybody's different. Everybody has something different to give. We have all got different gifts, talents, experiences, bank balances, talents, all these different things. Are we doing what we can for Jesus? Are we giving what we can for Jesus? Not what your neighbor's giving, not what him down the street's giving. Are you giving what you can give? She couldn't take away the shame or the rejection that Jesus was going to suffer. She couldn't cook a meal. She couldn't make him clothes. There wasn't time. But she had this flask of expensive ointment. She was saving it for herself. But in that moment, she chose to give it to the Lord, to give it to Jesus. She used the opportunity that she had. You all know the story of the starfish. A man comes down onto a beach. There's millions of starfish lying on the sand, and there's an old man picking them up one at a time and throwing them back into the sea. And he says to the old man, "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, the tide's going out. They're on the beach. If we leave them here, they'll die." He says, "Yeah, but look how many there are. You're not going to make any difference. You're not even going to get a tenth of them back into the water. You're not going to make any difference." But the old man listens, bends down, picks up another one, throws it into the sea, and he says, "I make a difference to that one." We can't do everything, but we must learn to do what we can, just like Mary did. We can't evangelize the whole world, but you can tell somebody that you know about Jesus. You can't feed every starving person in the world, but you can feed somebody. You can't help everybody, but you can help someone. You can't do it all, but if you take what you have and give it to the Lord, then He will use it for His glory. That's all that God asks of us. Do what you can. You can't do it all, but there are things that you can do. You can pray, you can witness, you can work, you can give, you can be faithful, you can read your Bible, you can support your church, you can help your neighbor, you can teach in Sunday school. There are an unending list of things you can do. You can't do it all. Wouldn't it be great to hear those words from Jesus when we come into His kingdom? He didn't do it all, but He did what He could. She didn't do it all, but she did what she could. And isn't there a great testimony there? I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached, throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. The disciples look at Mary and say, "What a waste." Jesus looks at Mary and says, "This is beautiful. And this is so beautiful that this will be told again and again. This will be preached. People will know. That is your reward." Here we are, 2,000 years on. Jesus' words ring true again. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, people will be told about Mary's extravagant gift of love. Even today, right here, Jesus is saying, "If you do something for me, I will reward you for it. Perhaps not in the way that you imagine, but it will be remembered by me. Those who honor me, I will honor." It said, Mary honored her Savior. She loved her Savior, and she's been rewarded by Him for it. Will the same be said when we meet Jesus? Well done, good and faithful servant. Mary did what she could, and she was rewarded for it. Have you done what you could? Are you doing what you can? Are you giving the Lord demonstrations of extravagant love and worship? Are you loving Him with reckless abandon? Because He loved you extravagantly. He loves you extravagantly. He loved you with all of Himself, and He gave all of Himself for you. And that's why we come to the table today, to remember that, to remember all that Jesus has given for us. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. It's a challenge this morning, and I challenge you to look at how you're living for Jesus. I challenge you to look at how you're loving Jesus. Tell myself to look at how I'm loving or how I'm living for Jesus. Is there room for improvement always in my life? But we need to examine our motives. We need to examine ourselves before we come to the table in worship of Him and in an act of remembrance for the extravagant love which He has loved us with. But when we look at Mary, here in Mark chapter 14, how does our love stack up to hers? Is our love extravagant as hers was? Or does it seem to be lacking? I'm going to close with a quote from an unknown author. Love is extravagant in the price it is willing to pay, the time it is willing to give, the hardships it is willing to endure, and the strength it is willing to spend. Love doesn't think in terms of how little, but always in terms of how much. Love gives, love knows, and love lasts. Amen.